Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
So my name is Harry Chen. I am the director of our staffing solutions here at Araya Solutions. We are a managed service and technology consulting organization providing services to the Mid-Atlantic region, primarily in the mid to enterprise size business. So I manage our contingent staffing practice for our customers.
Thanks so much, Harry, for making time to join us on the Ivy Podcast. I'm excited about the conversation that we have planned and talk about all the great things that you guys are building in Araya. But before we do that, give us a thumbnail version of your career prior to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my career is very similar to probably a lot of recruiters, at least in the beginning. I actually had a degree in MIS. My passion at that time was in IT. I built computers. I got in development. My first job out of school was a contingent role with a pretty large pharma organization where I was doing database development, reporting, et cetera. So a lot of, you know, that technical work. I quickly found out that that just wasn't for me. However, at the time, I'm 22 years old or something like that. And I realized that I didn't know what I wanted to do, just like a lot of folks, right? So, however, I always had this kind of entrepreneurial mind, and I started interviewing for roles, and I interviewed at a few different places. I got a few offers, but I interviewed at a place where it was one individual. I walked in, it was one individual, and I was his first hire, and he was building out an organization that did IT consulting, and he focused primarily on government. And then we later expanded into federal government, DOD, et cetera. So I was there for several years. I really just enjoyed that aspect of kind of building out a business is really what it came down to. And a lot of that came to, you know, there was a lot of recruiting. There was a lot of business development, et cetera. So that kind of launched my recruiting career. But I think more importantly, the underlying pieces is just being able to kind of build practices and build organizations or staffing practices kind of from the ground up, right? So I then went into, another IT staffing role and more of a traditional IT staffing position. And then I got recruited to go build a staffing practice for a local IT consulting firm. That was about 10 years ago. And it was something really greenfield, something that they haven't done before. It was pretty uncommon, I think, at the time for managed services providers and IT consulting firms to do staffing. So we really built that up from the ground up and we're able to replicate that across multiple regions around the organization. So that was, like I said, really exciting. It was successful. And, about 5 years ago, I had an opportunity to kind of do the same thing for another local recruiting firm that I had a friend come to. So here I am at Araya doing the same thing, just kind of, you know, building a practice kind of from the ground up and really expanding that, over the last 5 years. So it's been really exciting. And so I think my career has been a little different than probably some folks, but in the beginning, definitely very similar in the sense of, I think a lot of recruiters kind of got into this because they just didn't know what they didn't know.
Right. Absolutely. No, thanks for sharing that very diverse background you have. So yeah. Having spent quite a few years in staffing, recruitment, and more specifically in information technology, curious to get your take on what are the trends that you personally very excited about, whether that's in information technology or on IT staffing side. What are you researching? What are you passionate about?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm really big on contingent staffing, the contingent workforce, right? That's when we started building this practice, you know, years ago, it's really what I wanted to focus on, right? There's in staffing, there's a lot of different, there's a ton of staffing firms out there. There's a lot of permanent staffing, executive search, et cetera. I really wanted to focus our business around contingent staffing. And then even more so, I wanted to build a niche around, we're an IT consulting firm. So I really wanted to make sure that we're providing that extra level of value and that extra level of consultation to the customers, to the candidates, right? And really providing kind of that white glove service, if you want to call it, as well as that technical consulting to make sure that at the end of the day, contingent staffing is about a solution, is about a result, right? So we wanted to make sure that we built a practice that had that underlying solution around it. So I was really big on that. That's where my passion lies. That's what I've been doing. And we really focused the business around that. You know, as you're aware, you know, contingent staffing workforce has been growing year over year, right? And I don't see that stopping anytime soon. You see all this, the gig economy, the gig workforce. So I'm always looking into some of that, some of the statistics. I mean, if you look at all the trends, you look at kind of the trends of people staying in their permanent roles or quote unquote permanent roles these days, a little bit less. And there's, contingent workforce is growing. So, you kind of see where that's going to go, right? Like, it'll be interesting to see what work looks like in the next, 5, 10, 15 years, right? I think that'll be, I think we're already at a point where we're almost, 50% or so contingent. I think, will we get to a point where we have, significantly more contingent workers than full-time staff, right? So I think that'll be an interesting trend to follow over the next, several years.
Yeah, that's super exciting. And I'd like to double click on that a little bit further with client companies or other organizations that you partner with that may not have quite explored the workforce model, such as contingent workforce. What are some of the recommendations and practical advice that you provide to them when it comes to diversifying their strategy, when it comes to talent acquisition? What are the different challenges that they can expect when, diversifying and hiring contingent workers? Just curious to get your take on some of the conversations you're having with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the contingent workforce really fits in a lot of different areas, right? And it really just depends on what the customer is looking for. So, a big area is kind of that specialization, right? You kind of need someone to come in that consultative specialization area to kind of to get through a specific solution, whatever that may be. But also, I think the contingent workforce for customers really enables them to be a little bit more nimble, a little bit more agile throughout, just especially in the times that we're at. I mean, if you think about the workforce over the last 3 years and how COVID has impacted that, you had a lot of organizations going through a ton of layoffs and then potentially even bringing some folks back midway through to have, a second round of layoffs potentially. And then now we're in this position where we're not really certain where things are going, right? From an economical standpoint, from a business standpoint, and a lot of it depends on, of course, the industry they're in. But as a general concept, right, there's just a lot of uncertainty. And I think at the end of the day, there's always going to be a lot of uncertainty. I just think right now it's just a little bit more extreme. But that contingent workforce allows them to be a little bit more nimble and bringing folks on and potentially being able to hire them or potentially being to scale up or scale down a little bit easier than having to manage through full-time staff and manage through, where they go over the next couple of years, right? And having to do layoffs, right? Because that's a tough thing, not only for a manager, but for organizations to do massive layoffs at multiple times, right? So it's, that's kind of where my biggest, from a benefit or from a solutions perspective to our customers, that's where I think our biggest sell, our biggest sell is.
Makes perfect sense. And to take a look at the other side of the equation, from the candidate experience standpoint, with a lot of organizations shifting to a different work model, such as fully virtual or hybrid, setups, it becomes even more challenging when it comes to onboarding the new candidates, especially when you're dealing with contingent workers and things like that. What are some of the recommendations that you can provide when it comes to companies succeeding in the space of candidate onboarding in, fully virtual or hybrid environments?
Yeah. So, you know, my philosophy, and it's always been, is it always starts with the candidate. It always starts with the candidate experience. The best candidate experience is going to get you the best customer experience. It's going to provide the best experience for everyone involved, right? So, you know, I'm really big on that candidate experience throughout that whole life cycle. So, you know, I think for me, it really starts with setting the right expectations. And then kind of, as I said, we come from an IT technical consulting background. So consulting with the customer on the candidate landscape, the candidate environment as it is, you know, today, because today it's changed from 3 years ago, right? Like you mentioned, hybrid work, remote work, et cetera. I don't think there's one magic bullet for everything, right? So I think what happens is you hear a lot of these underlying topics as things are changing. You hear about, oh, well, you can't hire anybody if you're not offering remote work, or you can't do this, you can't do that, and you have to do this, right? I don't necessarily think that's true, right? I think some people may disagree with me, but I think you have to offer flexibility is the bottom line. But you also need to be able to just from an onboarding and a higher impact perspective, to go back to your original point, I think it's just understanding that your expectations and making sure that they align with the market as it is today. So today, you know, candidates are off the market within, depending on what you're looking for, within a couple of days. So we need to make sure that interview process is quick, it's clean, and we're able to kind of make that interview pretty quickly. And then on the back end side, right, we need to make sure we can onboard candidates, go through background checks, onboarding, screening, et cetera, and get credentials all within a couple of days, or else, you know, we can lose candidates. That's how, you know, candidates are flying off the market these days. You know, you talk about this great resignation, which I think is more of a great reshuffle. I don't think people are resigning for nothing these days, but I think they're just moving to different organizations that are paying them a little bit more, right? So, but being able to, you know, being able to facilitate that process and set all the right expectations ahead of time, and being able to meet all those expectations throughout that process, I think is absolutely critical to getting the right candidates on board in a timely fashion. But I think if I had to sum it down to kind of one piece, I think it's a timing issue. Like if, you know, things that drag on, it's a decision-making and timing piece. Like we need to be able to make decisions quickly and be able to, you know, quickly onboard, interview, you know, make a decision, onboard to really get, you know, get the right workforce there.
Yeah, you bring up great points, and that leads me to further area I wanted to explore with you. You've mentioned speed, and speed matters in this market, especially in current conditions with candidate-driven environments. There's so many opportunities for candidates to explore. So being able to create a process in place that really allows you to identify, qualify, and select candidates with, you know, at speed without compromising the quality matters a lot. So what are some of the advice that you have to hiring organizations or hiring managers to create policies or procedures as such where you can select and, you know, onboard candidates relatively quickly without jeopardizing any of the quality?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, you know, I always remind them that this is contingent staff, right? So that's one piece. So although, you know, we want to hire the right candidate, part of the process of contingent staff is that, you know, some people, you can do one interview, you can do 10 interviews, and you still never really get a full understanding of who that individual is, right? So, you know, if we shorten that process to that one interview or even two interview process, right, we can, you can bring them on, and at the end of the day, they are contingent. So if for some reason they don't work out, you know, we can make that offboarding process really, really easy for you, right? So that's just making sure that they're aware of that, because I think in general, they're used to very traditional ways of hiring and hiring full-time staff. And it's tough to, I think, for some managers kind of to separate the two. So I think that's the first part. But otherwise, you know, I think just making sure that they're educated on what the environment looks like, right? Making sure that they're educated on the timing, the environment, and then just from a candidate perspective, right? We need to make sure, you know, there's a lot of recruiting strategies, sourcing strategies, and things of that nature, right? I mean, for me, personally, we focus in a very specific geographical region. So that really helps us from a recruiting perspective, because we have a lot of referrals. I've been living in this area, and we've been working in this area now for, you know, over 10 years. So there's a lot of folks that, you know, we get referrals from that we can just easily reach out to and work with on a pretty quick basis there. Yeah. But I think just from a, you know, from an onboarding perspective, it's all about setting expectations, and it's about meeting those expectations and also consulting with the customer, making sure the customer is aware of what that process looks like. And especially, and I think, and it kind of going back to my theme there, as I think specifically, it varies depending on what you're looking to accomplish as well, right? You know, if it depends, if, you know, if you're just looking to get smart hands technicians to come in and, you know, reimage a, you know, a couple thousand machines or whatever it may be, that process is probably going to look wildly different than I'm looking for someone to help work on a cloud migration to migrate my entire data center into, or help me with a cloud migration strategy or something along those lines, right? That process may look a little bit different from that from the interview process. So depending on what that looks like, you know, we have to shift around our strategies on how we onboard. So I think it all comes down to same thing. It's a very high touch consultative process, and there's no one magic bullet, right? That says like, this is the way you have to do it, or this is the way that only works. I think it really will vary.
Right. Absolutely. And interviewing is such a complex space. It's, you know, I've been on different sides of the interviewing equation where I was the candidate myself, I was the hiring manager, and also on the staffing side, it's all different perspectives. And a lot of that boils down to ability to identify the gaps that are missing on our team and what are the strengths missing so that we can potentially identify in that particular candidate. But also, like you said, setting those right expectations up front, I think it's very crucial, because at the end of the day, it's also an opportunity for the candidate to do their proper analysis as well and ask their own questions and see if that manager or that leader is the right person to succeed under, or is this the right environment. When it comes to feedback after the interviews, I oftentimes hear that it's a complicated and lengthy process where it's hard to get some type of feedback from the hiring managers, or vice versa, from the candidates as well. What are your thoughts on improving that space? Because I see a lot of deals fall through because from either side, it takes time to provide that feedback. What are some of the things that can be done to improve that?
I think part of it for me is like, you're going to have a lot of tools and things of that nature out there that can help with some of this, right? But at the end of the day, tools are only good as who's using them, right? So I think that for me, it's a big part of, it's the same thing, that education, making sure that organizations, hiring managers are aware of the importance of it, and making sure that, you know, recruiters or sourcers or whoever's involved in that process is aware of kind of the importance of that. Because I think what happens is there's a lot of that short-term thinking, there's a lot of interviews going on, there's a lot of candidates, there's a lot of things happening, right? But the reality of it is it's a much smaller world than we all think. And I think everyone who's been in the recruiting space, it kind of realizes that, and they know, hopefully they know that, right? At least some of the good recruiters knows that it's a much smaller world than we think. So, you know, I think they just need to realize, I think kind of educating hiring managers on providing feedback and providing, you know, even if we don't hire somebody, giving them some quick feedback, and this is why we didn't hire. You just never know where that individual, when that individual will start, come back in that same circle again, right? And especially with all these hires and all these hires, right? Because if you're interviewing, let's say, you know, 3, 4, 5 people and you're hiring one, when you're not giving feedback to the other 80%, well, if you're constantly doing that, you're constantly eliminating 80% of people that may look poor, that may look at your organization or look at you, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, you are a reflection of your organization. And if they may look at you poorly from a personal brand perspective. So, you know, I think being able to kind of keep that, educating them on the importance of that, of the network, right? Because it's in today's day and age, I personally think that it's not all about what you know, and it's not all about what you know, right? It's a lot about who you know, and you never know if that person's going to be able to help you or whatever it may be. It's we're in a like I said, a especially with technology these days. We're in a much smaller world than we all think. And I think everyone thinks we're too busy for this and too busy for this. And, you know, providing that 5 minutes of feedback really helps maintain that relationship. And I think that's what organizations need to understand, and just educating them and as well as hiring managers to understand, whether that be for their personal brand as a hiring manager or the organizational brand, you know, to it, it just that type of feedback just goes a long way. So I think that's probably the biggest that'd be my biggest advice for that type of issue.
Spot on. And to shift gears a little bit, when it comes to, you've been in information technology, you have degrees in computer science and things like that. So as a practitioner in this space, what are you observing these days when it comes to, you know, very niche in-demand skill set that's very hard to find and that's only grow in scarcity in the next, you know, in the next period? What are some of the areas that you personally, if you were in that space, what would you be investing in?
So from a specific technology standpoint, right, you're talking about it's automation, right? It's automation across the board. Everything's being automated. So, you know, I came from the application world, but, you know, in the last 10 years, I've been working for infrastructure, data center consulting, you know, organizations, right? And you're seeing automation really take over in terms of you just need less resources, less people, personal resources to manage larger infrastructures. So, you know, as far as where like a lot of those skill sets will lie, I think it's going to be in automation. You talk about cloud. Cloud is such a, you know, just this mysterious word there, right? But cloud, you know, cloud migrations, et cetera. And I think security is always going to be top of mind. I mean, security, no matter what, is always going to be top of mind. You especially with the way social media and everything. I mean, you hear about every security breach within minutes, hours, and it's all over, you know, social media. And next thing you know, like, you know, the public knowledge is almost more detrimental than almost the data loss, right? The brand imaging of some of that is almost more detrimental than some of that data loss that you have to go through and the financials of that. So, you know, security is definitely a big piece. So I would say, you know, those areas, at least at a really high level, you know, those are going to be some, that's where we're seeing a lot of that scarcity and where that, you know, I think those skill sets are going to lie.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you, especially what we're seeing in current days. And you've mentioned social media and a lot of the stuff that's happening in the world, you know, especially on the cybersecurity side. That's going to be an ongoing trend. That's something only going to continue to evolve. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. When it comes to your personal content diet or your information diet, the sources that you consume on a daily basis that help you stay informed, educated on all the things going on in your industry, share some of the sources that you like to go to.
Yeah. So, you know, I think in general, like for me, it's just that it's a lot of that personal communication, right? We have we're always talking to a lot of folks, a lot of different people, and understanding their point of view. So I think that really helps. As much as it's not like one single source, I think it's just you hear a lot of different opinions in different industries. So just that personal conversations. But as far as sources, I mean, I'm really big on listening to a lot of different podcasts and things of that nature. I like listening to, you know, entrepreneurial type podcasts. So one of the big ones that I listen to a lot is, it's called How I Built This, by Guy Raz was his name. So I've been listening to that now for several years. Just really interesting to see, you know, how, you know, he just talks to a lot of organizations or a lot of actually business owners that have built businesses really from the ground up, right? Just kind of so and all the challenges they've faced, all the you know, kind of the failures, I guess, is probably the best way to put it, because I think that's the big underlying thing there. Yeah. So that's it's great kind of hearing their stories and hearing, you know, what they've gone through and how they've overcome some of those. And those are just, I think that's probably a good one.
I love it. I'm personally a fan as well of how I build this the podcast as well. And hopefully after this episode, you'll start checking out Ivy Podcast as well. So
yeah, absolutely. No, I think there has to be a lot more. I haven't had a great, I want to find, so for me personally, I've just been a big, I take my content. I learn more from listening and hearing through personal stories versus like, I don't know, growing up, that was my thing. If I read an educational book, it's not something that I take in. I need to see things and hear things in a practical capacity. Right. And that's just how I've always learned through just experiences, whether it be mine or somebody else's. So that's why. So I haven't been able to find a ton of really good contingent work or like recruiting type podcasts out there. So yeah, absolutely. I kind of started listening to some of this stuff from, you know, Ivy Podcast. So definitely will put that into my diet. I've gotten some good content. Yeah,
we'll add a listener number three to our roster. So I appreciate the plug here. Last but not least, in terms of think of maybe an advice or series of advice that you had received early on in your career when you were just starting out that you continuously refer to even these days that you also pass on to others that whom you mentor. Just share some thoughts from that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, so I think, and that's really a tough one because there's a lot of good advice out there. Yeah. I think, you know, I think the biggest piece of advice I always tell folks, candidates, myself, you know, friends, family, and is just kind of be yourself, right? And there's, you know, you need to, and part of that is I think finding yourself a little bit because, you know, look at me, you know, I kind of in the beginning of this, right? I didn't even, you know, whatever it was when I was doing that SQL development work or SQL reporting work, like I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And I think once you find yourself, and I think you're always finding yourself, but I think just be true to yourself, always kind of follow, you know, what, you know, I think there was I was at an SIA conference and there was a book called The Code, but it was defining your own self code, right? So I think it all follows that same principle, right? Understand who you are, what you enjoy doing, understand your principles, your personal principles, and apply them to exactly what you do on your day-to-day life. And I don't think you can go wrong, right? Because I think, you know, if you can apply your personal principles and you don't break outside of that your personal code, then you know, I think you'll be happy at the very least, right? And I think happiness is defined in a lot of ways, but I think that's a big part.
Makes perfect sense. Those are powerful words. And Harry, can't thank you enough for your time today. It was a very short and insightful conversation. Definitely thank you for your time. And I'm pretty sure we're going to run into each other in one of the conferences coming up. So definitely looking forward to catching up in person one day with you.
Sounds good. Thanks, John. Appreciate the time.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.